Welcome, everybody. If you please stand and grab a hymn book and turn to page 140. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe found my. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits myself's best song. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's a master of the sea, billows will he'll obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
All right, if you're saved and you're going to heaven, give me an amen.
Amen.
And I'm excited. Zoe, right? Okay, Zoe sang for our Christmas play, and she kind of was a sleeper cell. I didn't know if she could sing. And so ever since then, I've been asking her, you know, are you going to sing tonight? And she always says no. So tonight I did that, and she actually said yes. So I'm looking forward to that. Has a good voice. We have a visiting preacher with us tonight. Jake's going to preach tonight. Looking forward to that. And man, I like those socks. I don't know if I can pull it off, but I like them. So he's going to preach for us tonight. And it was just nice to be able to come back. You know, I have a missionary friend in Honduras. Actually, he's in the States here. Ronnie Doss. That's the place where I took my very first mission trip. And he is in intensive care with COVID, and it doesn't look really good for him. So if you'd pray for him, and there's a whole ministry attached to that. He's got an orphanage in Honduras. That's where Maggie and I thought way back when that we'd go there. So if the Lord takes him home, it's going to leave a gap there. So you pray for him. I know there's some folks around here. Wendell's doing better. Becky and Frank. Becky is leaving Monday to go get her second hip done. And Frank has a stress test and something else next week because he ended up, they said he ended up having a heart attack sometime last week. They're concerned about that. So they called me today and asked me to pray for them. So so keep that in mind. And I, that's all the requests I have, if, unless I'm missing something tonight. We got a visitor with us. It's a friend that works with my daughter. It's his mom, and then she brought some guests. And now, where are you guys from? I know you said you had relatives here, but
just answered South Dakota.
Oh wow! No, I wouldn't either. You know, I'll tell you this. Then we'll move on. When I was there's a Bible college in South Dakota, and I got this thing in the mail on my desk, and it said free tuition for Bible college, and this is when I was pastoring. I thought, man, that's great. And I thought, there has to be a catch. And I opened up the letter, and the catch is it's in South Dakota. It gets cold there. I mean, really cold. This is probably like spring to you guys, huh? If you were in South Dakota and it was a day like this, you'd be like, let's mow the grass. But that college up there does promote a lot of missions. Good to have you with us tonight. All right, Brother Ronnie.
All right, if you'll stand with me one more time and turn to page 54, Brother Deacons come forth to receive an offering. Brother Michael, just a blessing and offering, please. Amen. There will be a happy meeting in heaven, I know, when we see the many loved ones we've known here below. Gathered on the blessed hilltop with hearts all aglow, that will be a glad reunion day. Glad day, a wonderful day. Glad day, a glorious day. There with all the holy angels and loved ones to stay, that will be a glad reunion day. There within the holy city we'll sing and rejoice, praising Christ the blessed Savior with heart and with voice. Tell him how he loved to come to know him and make him your choice. That will be a glad reunion day. Glad day, a wonderful day. Glad day, a glorious day. There with all the holy angels and loved ones to stay, that will be a glad reunion day. When we lived a million years in that wonderful place, basking in the love of Jesus, beholding his face, it will seem but just a moment of praising his grace. That will be a glad reunion day. Glad day, a glorious day. Glad day, a glorious day. There with all angels and loved ones to stay. That will be a glad reunion day.
All right, so if you can't tell, I'm a bit nervous, so I brought my sister here to help me. So, all right. My latest sun is sinking fast. My race has nearly run. My strongest trials now are past. My triumph has begun.
Thank you, ladies, for doing that. I'm going to turn it over to Brother Jake here in just a minute. I took some folks to Africa probably 7 years ago, a family, and we've had so many. I think it's close to about 700 people that have been to Africa in about 6 years. Now, with that, some of them are repeat, but that's a lot of people, right? And But one of the families we took over, we became good friends with, and they ended up moving churches, and they go to a completely different church now, and I haven't heard from them in 6 years. Well, they called me 2 weeks ago and said, hey, how's Africa doing? You know, we'd like to have a part in what's going on there. Asked us, you know, what kind of projects are going on, and I mentioned a few. We need to add another school building on to the school, and we did one building last time we were there. Now we're going to add a kitchen and a bathroom onto the Bible Institute, and then we need to furnish that with a stove and refrigerator, and then we need to install some solar power. I listed all of these things, and then hung up the phone. Then on Friday I opened the mail. And in the mail was a check for $25,000. Now what I'm telling you that for is that, you know, now that I have been back from Africa, there's like 60 churches that support that. And because I'm not there personally, sometimes churches drop you, and it always is a concern. But when I see God do something like that, I realize this: God does not have money problems, right? And what he's interested in is being involved in you know I tell people all the time, this goes for churches and people, give him a reason to make you successful, and he'll do that. But if the reason is just for you, then don't hold your breath, right? Same way with a church. You know, every church wants to grow, right? But for what reason? All right? So you double the attendance. Okay, now what? What are you going to do, right? And what's the purpose of, just because, you know, if God allows a church to do that, that means there's something for, you got that many people, you know, in one building, that's an army. And that army's supposed to do something, right? It's supposed to accomplish something, you know? So I figured if God lets the church grow, it's because there's something to do. And part of that is getting to hear guys like Jake preach. And it's funny because sometimes if I'm in a revival and there's two pastors, I hate going last because I'm thinking, man, will he ever just shut up and let me get up and get the stress off of me and just, you know, get it over with. But Jake, the first time I preached, I was had one semester in Bible college done. I sat on the front row. The message was 5 minutes. And I know you're probably thinking, well, what happened since then? It was 5 minutes long, and I ate a whole pack of Rolaids on the front pew. And then when I got done, I told God, I said, if you won't make me do that again, you know, I mean, it was a painful experience. And to this day, I still don't listen to myself preach because I'm afraid I'd quit. But I'm excited about hearing Brother Jake preach tonight, and I'm glad that we have young men that'll be willing to do that. And so, brother, pulpit's yours.
I'm glad to be here tonight. It's definitely a blessing to do this, and I just want to thank the Lord for every opportunity I get. So we're going to be starting off in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, but real quick, I'm going to open in prayer. Dear Lord, I just want to bow humbly in your presence tonight. Just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here, for the people that are here, Lord, and just thank you for allowing us to be gathered here tonight. And Lord, I pray that you be with us and you guide us and that your will be done in this service, Lord, and that you'll help me, Lord, just speak for you, Lord, and just help me be in your will, Lord. Lord, I pray that you open the hearts of the people here tonight and they will hear what they need to hear, Lord. And most importantly, Lord, I pray if there's anybody here that's lost tonight, Lord, that they'll realize that they're sinners, Lord, and that they'll realize that they need to be saved, and they'll come know you if it's finally too late. But I want to thank you for your son that you sent on the cross to die and save our sins. And I pray you lead, guide, and direct us tonight. In your holy and blessed name, we do humbly pray. Amen. So tonight, this has kind of been on my mind lately, this thought. And we're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, but I'm going to do quite a bit of turning. But tonight, I want to talk about serving God. And I want to kind of lay out kind of sort of the steps you got to take, or you would want to take, to go like the process of serving God. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but is it on? Is it on now? But the very first step that you need to start when you want to start this, start serving God, is first you got to have a relationship with Him. You need to know Jesus is your personal Savior. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe upon Him shall not perish but have everlasting life." And it says, "Whosoever will call on Him, anybody can call on Him. His arms are open, and He's ready." So you're saved. So the second thing is you got to be willing. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 here, we're going to start reading verse 17. I think I wrote that down wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 17, and it says, "For I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily that I may preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, and I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain more." And I like this last verse. It says in verse 19 here, it's, "For though I may be free for all men, yet I made myself servant unto all, that I might again, or I might gain the more." And to properly serve God, you've got to have it in your heart to be a servant. You know, it's kind of a thing I feel like a lot of us, we don't want to ever feel like we're below anybody, but you've got to humble yourself and allow yourself to be used. You've got to have a heart that's willing to serve. I'm going to kind of restate this. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's start reading verse 11. "Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of which ye have. For if there be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to what he hath not." And I like that because it says here in verse 12, and it says, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to what he hath not." And I feel like a lot of times we'll kind of talk ourselves out of service because we might not think that we have what the Lord wants of us, I guess you could say. We might not have a talent or something desirable. But it says clearly right here, if you're willing, then he'll use you. And he'll use you for what you have, not what you want. And the Lord gives everybody something that they can do. And all you got to do is be willing and have a willing mind, and he will use you. So second, and kind of one of the more important and, in my opinion, one of the harder ones to do, is you got to be willing to serve God, but you've also got to be willing to make the sacrifice to serve God. So we're going to start reading on this in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, I'm just going to read verse 1. It says, "I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And you just, one of the things when you kind of start realizing that you're going to serve God is you realize that you're going to have to cut some things out of your life. You can't live the same as you used to and still serve God. There's going to be some things that you realize interfere with that. And that you're going to have to ask yourself, are you willing to cut those out? Or are you willing to change that? Because it says right here in verse 1 here, it says you've got to be a living sacrifice unto God. And I feel like our purpose, we have one purpose on this earth, is when we get saved, is to serve God. And we shouldn't let anything get in the way of that. We shouldn't allow the world to come in and allow things to take hold of that. And we should be able to look at our life and kind of dissect it. And if there's things in our lives that are holding us back, we should be able to make the decision that we need to cut that out. So continuing on that point, I want to turn to Matthew chapter 19. We'll start reading in verse 20. Matthew 19, starting in verse 20, the Bible says, "The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." And I feel like a lot of times that we probably maybe knock ourselves out of serving because we ain't willing to give up what we have. And it's not always going to be as drastic as selling everything you need or everything you have, but if that's what the Lord calls you to do, you should be willing.
You can look throughout the Bible, and people like Stephen, and Stephen is a good example because it just blows my mind how a man can act like that in the face of death. But someone like Stephen was willing and happy to give his life for God. There was no thought of when that time came and he knew it was the end, he wasn't mad, he wasn't upset. He just gave it to God. When Job had everything he had, all of his family was taken from him, he still praised God because it was his. Because when there comes a time in your life when you have to serve God, you're going to have to sacrifice something. And you've got to realize that everything that God's gave you is his. And you're just, as Brother McBride said last week, you just kind of, it's on loan to you. And if you aren't willing to sacrifice it, then you'll never be able to fully serve him, because there might be a point in your life when that servitude is going to ask a lot more than you probably ever thought it would. Still continuing. What am I? Sorry about that. So we talk about being willing to serve God. We talked about sacrificing to serve God. And I want to talk about that you have to put yourself in a position to serve God. So we're going to flip back to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to start 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to start reading in verse 20. And unto Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, so to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as the weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And I do this for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. So you've decided you want to serve God, and you've kind of checked all these things off your list, but now you've got to put yourself in a position to do so. If I want to serve God, but I just sit and wait for something to happen, it's probably not going to happen. You've got to take the steps necessary to do so. Like Paul says here, he says, if I got to be as a Jew, then I'll be as a Jew. If I got to be as someone that doesn't live with the law, then I'll do that. If I got to be weak, I'll do that. And he says he does that for the sake of the gospel. So we've got to be able to come down to the lowest or the highest or whatever it takes, and kind of change our life or change our perspective or change what we do to reach people. Because that's our job, is we've got to reach people. So if you want to be like a Sunday school teacher or something, then you need to take that step to become a Sunday school teacher and do the thing that it would take to be a Sunday school teacher. Or if you're filled that you're called to the mission fields, and you need to do things required of you that would help you get into that. Because if you just stand by idly, then you're not going to be able to be used. Because service of God takes a lot of work on your part. But if you're willing to work and you're willing to throw yourself out there, then he'll use you. So now that we've talked about positioning yourself, one of my last points, and this is probably one of the most important, is you must fully trust God in order to serve him. So I'm going to turn back to Psalms chapter 37. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, thy judgment as the noonday. And this passage passes because it basically just lays out reasons we should trust the Lord. It says, fret not against evildoers, for they shall be cut down like the grass. And we can all probably acknowledge that at some point, if you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to face some opposition. The devil's not going to like it, and he's probably going to put people in place to try and cut that down. But the Lord said he'll handle that. He says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou that dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And to me that says real plainly that if you trust in God, he will provide your needs. And if you're trying to work for him and you have needs that are of your heart, and they are, then the desires are there to fulfill what he would have you to do, he will provide them. Continuing on this point, I want to turn back to Matthew chapter 6. Start reading in verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought of tomorrow, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added up unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto day is the evil thereof. And once again, he's just stating that he's going to take care of you. He says, take no thought of what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed, because that's what Gentiles or unbelievers seek. Because the Lord knows what we need, and the Lord, in his infinite power and infinite knowledge, can give those to us if we need them. Amen. The perfect example is, as Dave said just a few minutes ago, getting that money. I mean, where did that come from? I mean, people don't have $25,000 just laying around typically, right? He needed it. I'm sure there was a lot of prayer about it, and the Lord provided. You can look throughout the Bible, and I guess the feeding of the 5,000 would be a really... A good example was when there was a need and Jesus was able to take basically a really small amount and provide for everybody. I'm going to go one more place. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 8. Let's start reading in verse 31. What shall we when they say these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And when you're kind of looking, and maybe you're ready to step out, but you can't quite just make that step yet because you're struggling with what's going to be next, or you're kind of stepping off in the unknown, this verse right here really does it for me. Because when it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? That just kind of sums it up, because when you think about it, of all the people to trust, trusting him would be a pretty good bet. Of all the people in the world, to trust, he can get it done every single time. He's never going to forget about you. He's never going to let it down or let you down. And even though it might seem like you're stepping off into nothing, God will always be there to hold on to, and will be there for you through it all. So we've talked about being willing to serve God. We talked about the sacrifice and the willingness to sacrifice you must take to serve God. We talked about putting yourself in a position to serve God, trusting God. So I want to leave you with one thought, is why do we serve God? I want to turn back to Psalms again, chapter 31. And we'll start reading in verse 23. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentiful rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. And this, I like this verse because it's encouraging to me, because it says if you're willing to work for him, he'll preserve you. He rewardeth the proud doer. And he finishes right here and says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. And I know for one, I just want to really focus on doing that. Is just stepping out and serving him and trusting him and be willing to give everything for him. Because I know at the end of the day, that even if the good Lord takes me tomorrow, that I can confidently say that I'll lift up my eyes in heaven. And when I look and see what Christ went through, when he died on the cross for me, it really is kind of, I guess it'd be crazy to think that I couldn't give something as little as my life for him. Because a few years here is going to be nothing when we can lift up our eyes in eternity. So I just want to, that's all I have tonight. The Lord's been really laying that on my heart. So I've been pretty nervous about this because I've had a lot on my mind lately. And I'm like, I'm excited and nervous, but I just want to announce my call to preach. So I've been praying about it for a long time, and I'm excited to see where it's taking me, but I'm pretty nervous because just kind of stepping out into it. So I don't know what it's going to take me, but I ask the church to pray for me. Just pray that the Lord show me what he wants me to do and where he wants me to go in the future.
You know, for our invitation, I'm going to just ask the guys here, if the men will come up, we're going to get around Jake and pray. And obviously, he preached that kind of message because he's getting ready to do that, right? So, but all of us should want to serve God in some capacity, correct? And there's always something. So let me ask you this. If you're the pastor, and somebody came up to you and said, I want to teach Sunday school class, but I didn't have a Sunday school class available, what would you do? I tell you what I'd do. I'd start one. In fact, we used to run a bus an hour away because Slippery Rock wasn't in a demographic where you could run a bus route easily. We did that simply because I had too many people that wanted to be Sunday school teachers and not enough kids. So we went and found kids, and we bused them in. So the point of it is this, is that what we can accomplish for the Lord is only limited by ourselves. That's it. But in most churches, there's usually not a line of people saying, give me something to do. And it could even be, well, this is, you know, I mean, a cup of water in God's name, right? I mean, the Bible talks about that, you know? So we can't blame God for not using us if we don't ever take that step and say, hey, I just want to be used. Preacher, find some place that I can be used of this is what I can do, or this is what sometimes it's stepping out like Jake. You know, he's in your what, you got how many more years of college, Evan?
A year and a half.
A year and a half of school. You know, I mean, because he's just a very humble person. You know, he's got his commercial pilot's license. And he's got a future ahead of him if that's where God takes him. But for a young man like that to feel that burden, I couldn't make Jake do this for nothing. This isn't a person-driven thing. This is a God Almighty weighing on his spirit thing that would cause him at this point in his life to have a desire to do that, right? I mean, his dad couldn't do it. His grandpa couldn't do it. This is obviously for him to get up here and do this voluntarily this many times. Is a God thing. Now, the first time he preached, I'm going to tell you, immediately I went home and told my wife, he's going to end up being called to preach. Do you know why? Because it's evident that God's doing something for him, right? But now what about us? You can't knock your name off the list simply because you don't feel called to preach, right? There's so many, like Zoe, taking that step and singing tonight, right? And that's, you know, I mean, they're shy. Right? And that's where for me, I'm just goofy and don't know better, right? That it's hard to be up here, you know? But that was a big step that they took. Well, tonight as we, and you know what? It's a responsibility of a church to train young people in the ministry. And I know when I was as an assistant pastor, I used to pray. I don't know, Sean, if you've ever done this or not, but I used to pray, and Jordan, I don't know if you've done this or not, I used to pray and ask God to put it on my pastor's heart to let me preach. Because once it gets inside of you, And you have that message, you're thinking, I got a message and no avenue in which to do that, right? And I used to pray, you know, and tell God to answer my prayer. And I'd say, God, if this is what I'm supposed to, have the preacher ask me to preach, and boom, he'd do that. You know, so we also have another responsibility, is to pray for Jake, and as a church, stand behind him and give him opportunities to continue to learn and let God use him in his capacity. So I'm going to ask the men, if you'd come, we'll gather around him and pray. But also, you guys can come forth. All the guys would come that feel comfortable doing that, and we'll gather around Jake. And Jake, you can sit there if you want, or stand. It don't matter which one. But as they're coming, and I'm going to ask some men to pray. Yeah. Well, get down there if they can put their hands on you. All right, you don't have to sit. All right, so now as they're doing that, here's some.